If I can preach after that. That's powerful. Powerful. Well, the message this morning, can you stop this from ringing so much? Thank you. Hello. Still. The message this morning is hello. That's better. That's better. Right? I don't know. Is that better? A little bit? This one? Which one? They say use this one. Okay, we're ready. We're going to talk about my heart this morning. It's a little bit different message than normally that I might preach. It's not going to be long. I think 2 or 3 hours at the most. I want to share 5 areas where my heart desires great things for you. Great things for you. I want you to turn to, or look in the screen, to Hebrews 13 and verse 7 to start with. It says, remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you, spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. So I was reading in Hebrews chapter 13, and it's just kind of a mixture of instructions or commands or suggestions, however you want to say it, to believers about their lives. And one of the it talks about getting about marriage, talks about lots of things, talks about entertaining angels unaware. I like that verse. I like to do that. Yeah? Well, this verse says, remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. And then in verse 9, it comes back to this idea of leaders. In verse 9, it says, so don't let anyone lead you. Verse 17. Go down to verse 17. Obey your spiritual leaders and do what they say. This is the phrase that really struck me. Their work is to watch over your souls. And they are accountable to God. They are accountable to God. Give them reason to do this with joy and not with sorrow. That would certainly be not for your benefit. I thought about that verse. I thought, wow, that one phrase in the middle, their work is to watch over your souls and they are accountable to God. And so I thought about, well, what do I really desire from you, for you? And so I found 5 areas that I put down. And I put the word steadfastly in front of each idea because I'm continuously, earnestly, fervently desiring these things for you. So the first one is my heart steadfastly desires love. Steadfastly desires love. And what that means is that I want God to be the very first thing in your life. Above everything else that you love or think about, he should be first. That everything within you would keep the Lord as the first love of your life. In Mark chapter 11, verse 30, it says, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And this is the first commandment. The very first commandment that Jesus gave us is to love God with everything we have. And that's what I want for you. I steadfastly desire that you love God first. And that everything that we do here, everything I do here, is geared toward making you able to love God, desiring to love him, serve him. He is the very beginning, the very first thing in our lives. In fact, in our church, the motto that we have is love God. And the second one is love people. And that's the second commandment. In verse 31 of Mark 12, it says, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And there is no other commandment greater than these. So the very first two commandments that God gave us, the greatest two commandments he gave us, are to love God and to love people. A verse came to me. I couldn't remember where it was. I did look it up, about fervent love, that you would have fervent love for one another. And that word fervent is found three or four places in the Bible. One of them is when you are talking about prayer, it says the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. That's on fire prayer. That's what I think of when I read that word fervent. It's really fiery. So in 1 Peter 1:22, it says, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit and in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. So each one of you is to love the others fervently, to love the world fervently. In 1 Peter 4:8, it says, above all things, have fervent love one for another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. If I get grumpy and complaining about you, I'm not loving, am I? Love covers a multitude of sins, and I have a multitude. So you have to love me. Love God, love people, love everything else. Do that. If you do that, you know what? All the rest of the sermon doesn't matter. Because all the rest falls into place. We're still going to go there, but it falls into place. You love God and you love people. The second thing my heart steadfastly desires is faith. That you would believe, that you would be strong in faith. I declare that you would be strong in faith. I desire that your faith would be like Jesus said, I've never seen such great faith in all the land. I'd like Jesus to say that for you. In Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if you want to be pleasing to God, have faith. I earnestly desire that you have faith. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Paul said, my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith might stand that your faith might not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. That your faith might be in the power of God. Have faith, believe, and not just active faith, you have to have faithfulness too. You stand strong for the whole term. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says, remember to stay alert. Hold firmly to all that you believe. Don't let go. Be mighty and full of courage. Be men and women of faith. Rise up. Believe God. Believe what he says. His word is true. Altogether true. Believe his word. Believe what he's doing. And a third thing I really desire for you, my heart desires growth. Steadfastly desires growth. In Ephesians 1:2, Paul said, grace and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And in 2 Peter 1:2, it said, grace and peace be multiplied to you through the knowledge of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. All through the epistles, Paul says, grace and peace. Grow in grace. Grow in peace. Grow in grace. I would echo the same desires that Paul and Peter had for you. To grow in grace. To grow in his peace. To grow in joy. To grow. To grow. To grow in spiritual knowledge. I like what Ephesians 1:16 through 19 says. I do not cease to give thanks for you, Paul says, I make mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and knowledge in the wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That's what God wants to do. That you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness, what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward you who believe, toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Grow, grow, grow. Grow up into him in all things. In your grace, in your peace, in your joy, in your wisdom and your knowledge. And the fourth thing my heart earnestly desires, steadfastly desires for you is stewardship. Service. There's no greater life than serving the Lord. No greater life than serving him. In 1 Peter 4, 10, 11, this great verse, it says, you know, besides that I would like you to serve, God instructs us to serve, doesn't he? It says in this, every believer, are you, say, raise your hand, I'm a believer. You know, every one of us has received grace gifts. So use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God. For example, it says, if you have a speaking gift, speak as though God were speaking his words through you. If you have the gift of serving, do it passionately with the strength that God gives you, so that in everything, God alone will be glorified through Jesus Christ. For to him belongs all the power and the glory forever through all the ages. Amen. That was verse 11. If you have a gift, use it. Don't hide it. Use it. Serve one another. God gives us gifts to serve one another, not to bury them. There's a parable about the steward who buried his stuff. He got punished, didn't he? Yeah. Serve one another. Serve one another. Serve one another. All kinds of different ways. We're doing a class on Wednesday night, one of the classes, and the class is on stewardship. And we're thinking about lots of different ways to do that, to be good stewards of what God's given us, to be good stewards of his grace, to be good stewards in giving, in serving, in loving, all ways. I like what it says in 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 12. I have to read this because it's such a good passage. Paul says, here's my point. A stingy sower will reap a meager harvest. Believe that? If you go out and sow one seed of corn, how much corn are you going to harvest? Just one plant. But the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. So if you go out and sow a whole bag full of corn, what will you get? Lots more. You get abundance. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely with the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. Hilarious generosity, I like that. Yes, give. God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything. How we doing? Testing, 1, 2, 3. Okay, where it says, God is ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything. With every moment and in every way, he will make you overflow with abundance. How'd you like that? Overflowing with abundance? Yeah. In every good thing you do. Hallelujah. Just as the scripture says about the one who trusts in him, because he has sown extravagantly and given to the poor, his kindness and generous deeds will never be forgotten. this generous God who supplies abundant seed for the farmer, which has become bread for our meals, is even more extravagant toward you. First, he supplies every need you have, plus more. Then he multiplies the seed as you sow it. So you sow a handful of seed and he throws out two more. Yeah? It's like when Jesus multiplied the bread on the mountainside. He gave his disciples a piece of bread, and when they passed it out, it was lots more. It's lots more. God multiplies your seed as you sow it. Wow. So that the harvest of your generosity will grow, and you will be abundantly enriched in every way as you give generously on every occasion. For when we take your gifts to those in need, it causes many to give thanks to God. This priestly ministry you are providing through your offering is not only supplying what is lacking for God's people, it's inspiring an outpouring of praise and thanksgiving to God himself. Well, that's a, you could preach on that. Yeah, that's a good verse. God wants to make you a generous giver, so much so that he says, I'll give you the seed, then you can sow it. I'll give you the seed. I'll provide everything you need to be generous. Hallelujah. Because God gives us of everything he is. See how, if he's given us his son, how much, if I can quote the verse, how much more will he not freely give us all things with him? Amen. God is generous, and he wants us to be generous like him. And the last one, the fifth one, is that my heart desires fullness. That you'd be full of the Holy Spirit. Full of the Holy, that's the ultimate gift. He gives us his Holy Spirit. That's the ultimate gift of God. It's a wow gift. A double wow gift. In Ephesians 5:17, it says, Don't be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Be full of the Holy Spirit. Allow him to fill you up to overflowing. There's no room left. He's to capacity. And with him comes power, so you could be full of the Holy Spirit and full of power. In Acts 1:8, it says you will receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Power. That's not human power. It's God's divine power. Hallelujah. In Romans 15:13, it says, may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing. How full is that? Fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. Wow. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance until you radiate with hope. And that's a good verse. So go back to Hebrews for a second with me. We'll start back in verse 15, and it says, let us by him, therefore, continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. He said, give thanks to God for all he's done, and do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And then in verse 17 again, obey your spiritual leaders and recognize their authority, for they keep watch for your soul without resting, since they will have to give an account to God for their work. So it will benefit you to make their work a pleasure and not a heavy burden. Yeah. Grow. These are the things that fill my prayers for each one of you. For I watch out for your souls, because I have to give an account to God. My heart desires for you to be all that God has called you to be. The stewardship of your souls is heavy upon me. I long to see you all grow and go forward in God. That's the work of the church. In Ephesians 4:11, it says, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And the next verse says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry. He gave me to you to be equipped. Amen? For the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Hallelujah. And then it says, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. To be a perfect man. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. This is going to continue. This pattern is going to continue until Jesus comes. That we should be no longer children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and cunning craftiness, of deceitful planning. But, the next verse says, speaking the truth in love, we may grow up into him in all things. Who is the head? Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by that which every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share. Every one of us doing our parts. Every one of us doing our share. And we cause it the body to grow for the edifying of itself in love. Hallelujah. That's my heart for you. That's my heart for you. So stand with me. This morning, I want you to put your hand in your heart. I want everyone to do it, please. Because if I could, I would place my hand over every one of your hearts. And so when I ask you to put your hand in your heart, it's as though I'm laying my hand on your heart. And as I speak the words written long ago by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, receive them into your heart. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, it says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And then in Numbers chapter 6, verses 22 through 27, it says, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and his son, saying, thus shall you bless the people of Israel. You shall say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. And then it says, when you put my name on the people like this, I will bless them. That's God's promise. You're going to be blessed because of his word. He will bless you. So Lord, we thank you today. We thank you so much that as we gather together to grow and to be all that you've called us to be, your spirit works in us and through us and around us. You're always moving in us, shaping and molding us into the body of Christ, to be a perfect man under the fullness of the stature of the measure of Christ. You've called us and you're equipping us. You're remaking us. We love you and praise you and thank you for that, Lord. Bless your holy name. Bless your holy name. Hallelujah. Go in his grace, his peace today.